From NPR News in Washington, I'm Renita Jablonski. More than 25 people are dead after gunmen opened fire in several parts of Karachi this weekend. The violence came ahead of an election that was held today in the Pakistani city to replace a provincial lawmaker who was murdered a couple months ago. Karachi has a long history of religious, ethnic, and sectarian violence, but there are concerns now that hundreds of targeted killings this year could create a new crisis for the U.S.-backed government in Islamabad, which is also dealing with a Taliban insurgency. NATO says a roadside bomb in southern Afghanistan has killed a NATO soldier today. NPR's Jackie Northam is in Kabul.
NATO would not give any details about the nationality of the soldier or where exactly he died. A short statement says only he was killed by a bomb blast. At least 44 NATO service members have been killed in Afghanistan so far this month. Many of those were in the southern part of the country, where the U.S. has boosted the number of its troops to help break the momentum of the Taliban. A large military operation is underway near the Taliban stronghold of Kandahar. There was a series of explosions within the southern city Saturday, which killed at least two civilians and wounded several others. No one has claimed responsibility. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Kabul.
As President Obama gets ready to headline a rally at Ohio State University in Columbus tonight, his press secretary says he doesn't think Democrats will lose control of either the House or Senate on November 2nd. Robert Gibbs told NBC today that Democrats are doing a remarkably good job in a tough political environment. In China, five more bodies have been uncovered in the latest mine disaster, bringing the death toll to 26. And as NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Beijing, rescuers fear the chances of survival are slim for the 11 still trapped.
Just days after 33 Chilean miners were rescued after 2 months underground, the grim death toll continues to mount in China's mines. Rescuers told Xinhua the 11 trapped miners are likely to have been buried in coal dust, since Saturday's explosion in the mine generated enough force to throw 2,500 tons of coal dust into the pit. About 50 friends and relatives were gathered at the pit as the rescue effort continued. The gas level inside the mine was 40%, far higher than the normal level of 1%. An earlier disaster at the same mine just 2 years ago killed 23 people. China's coal mines are the deadliest in the world, with about 2,600 killed in mining accidents every year. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
Some of the 33 miners rescued last week in Chile returned to the mine site today for a religious service. The miners, along with friends and families, gathered for a ceremony in a tent at the mouth of the San Jose copper and gold mine. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. A new ranking of the nation's biggest charities shows donations were down 11% last year. That's the worst decline in 20 years since the Chronicle of Philanthropy began keeping a tally. The report looks at 400 organizations. Only four in the top 10 increased contributions in 2009. Fiji has lost the official documents granting its independence from Britain. As Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney, the tiny Pacific Island nation has just celebrated four decades of independence.
After spending 5 years looking for the historic legal documents that officially gave Fiji independence from Britain, the government has had to admit it doesn't know where they are. An official archivist says that several government departments were contacted and several offices where the documents might have been kept were searched, with no success. The admission comes just days after the country celebrated its 40th year of independence. The documents were presented to the Fijian government in October of 1970 by Prince Charles. The country's first constitution was based on those papers. Fiji has had to contact British officials for help. They were able to provide a photocopy of the country's independence order. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
An international conference gets underway this week in Tokyo aimed at finding ways to preserve plant and animal diversity. But the conference in Japan faces some of the same issues that have stalled UN climate talks, things like disagreements between rich and poor nations. The UN Convention on Biological Diversity was founded 17 years ago and has not been able to pass any initiatives. I'm Renita Jablonski, NPR News from Washington.